I think we can move along with Benjamin Young. Get your clickers out and do not put them in your pockets, even though they are very pocketable. And he's going to be, I'm very sure, demonstrating some questions and responses that will be here from the Faculty of Science.
Thank you. So I need to change a couple of things about this setup. In the meantime, I'd like somebody from each table to make sure everybody at each table has a clicker.
We don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's some extra ones there. I think I've done something to confuse it. Oh, wait, I just have to. Okay, hopefully. Now let's see. I don't know what much of this stuff is, and I just put
you don't have to point them. The older clickers, which were under Adam's pointing at the middle, the older clickers used to be under technology. You had to actually hit a target more or less up the front. This one you can just sit there and press. And if you want to change your answer, I may be reading some of Benjamin's commentary. If you want to change your answer, you just have to re-click and it'll change it for you. And you get almost instant response on the screen so that you can see how many people of the group have any factors on this slide.
I'm going to start by asking you to solve a simple math problem for me. No joke. The problem is this. I have a bowl of apples, oranges, and pears. How many ways are there to take two pieces of fruit for lunch? Give that a bit of thought. I'm going to open the poll. I'm going to tell you that the answer is somewhere between 1 and 9, so when you decide on an answer, you can type that answer onto your clicker. Yeah, I think it's all good.
Do we have to log in?
The answer should be no, so we can see the response count increasing already up there, so people are starting to answer this question. I don't have, unfortunately, as much time as I'd like, but... I know that, and the answer is no. No. I have responses from about 40 people in the room right now. I'm going to give you another 10 seconds to think about it roughly, and then we're going to move on.
No points off.
Okay, I'm going to close the poll now. If you want to make your last-minute choice, please do so. So here are the answers. So the most popular answer seems to have been 6, but there were other strong contenders. For example, a lot of people thought there were 3 ways to choose your lunch, and a lot of people thought there were 9 ways, for example. So what I usually do at an instance like this is I ask my class to discuss the matter amongst themselves. So could you please do that? Please turn to the other people at your table. Tell them about the way you arrived at your answer. As you're doing that, I'm going to reopen the poll. If you change your mind about what your answer is, type it in. All right, I just heard the noise level drop a little bit, so that sounds to me as though people are starting to arrive at a new answer. Could we bring our discussions to a close, please, and choose your answer? You can keep the old answer if you want, but re-answer the question, please, for me. I'm going to wait till the response count gets up to about where it was before. Okay, so there's about 40 answers. Does anybody else want to opine? All right, I'm going to close the poll. So the opinion is solidified much more on the answer 6, which I agree is the correct answer. Now, there's a reason I did this. Precisely this is the way I taught all of my course. So the course that I taught this past term was Math 240. This is Discrete Structures 1. And I'll tell you a little bit about the course right now. I'm just going to take a screenshot of this here and paste it into my slide so that the students can see it for later. I mean, if you were students and you wanted to see it later. All right. So, title. Teaching Math 240 Using a Tablet PC and Clickers. Math 240 is Discrete Structures 1. So this is a survey course for mathematics. It's intended for people who are teaching or people who are taking a computer science degree of some sort. We cover topics like mathematical logic, mathematical proof, and then some slightly more domain-specific things, such as basic number theory, some combinatorics, which loosely means counting. The question I asked you was a combinatorial question. The course had about 70 students. It was required for most computer science students, and it was very heterogeneous within those constraints. It was people from first through third year, people who had just come to university, people who had failed the course several times before. So there, and this, I assume, is the norm. It was quite pronounced in this course. The other point worth mentioning is this was a survey course. For computer scientists in mathematics, math is not necessarily the strong suit of these students. So when I was teaching this course, I wanted to find ways to reach out to the students in the class that were less than comfortable with the material. Now, on the other hand, let me tell you a little bit about the way a math course is normally taught. It is normally taught with no technology aside from a blackboard. Now, you'll notice I'm not using PowerPoint to give this. There's a good reason for that. In mathematics, we never use PowerPoint. Never. Not even in research talks. We prepare research slides with another tool, LaTeX in particular. It's very labor-intensive. I couldn't teach my math class with PowerPoint. We use formulas the way in other disciplines you use nouns. A sentence will have 3 or 4 formulas in it. You don't want to be opening up equation editor to type every word. So I had to find a way. Well, I wanted to use clickers in my class, and I think I succeeded. I wanted to find a way to do it without PowerPoint. And in fact, the classroom I was given had an overhead screen and a blackboard, but you could choose one or the other. So I needed a blackboard replacement. Why chalkboards in particular, other than the logistics? It's actually important as a teacher to do worked examples and to make everything you're doing, at least in mathematics, seem extremely simple, to demonstrate that the material is doable at all. Like, that really is part of your job. So I needed to be able to actually, you know, write things on the actual, you know, write actual mathematics on the slide in the class, you know, almost sort of as a trick to illustrate that it can be done at all. So what I wound up using a tablet PC, which is what I'm using now. It's basically a nearly functional replacement for a piece of paper. It works almost as well as a piece of paper. I basically half prepared the lecture notes, and I would leave blanks for doing computations in the lecture notes. So here's a computation I could have done. So the question is to compute the greatest common divisor of these two numbers, and then you can just start writing. So 67 turns out to be 2 times 31 plus 5. Oops. Et cetera. So I can actually do parts of the computation on the tablet in class. I could also do things, for example, like insert extra clicker questions on the fly. Maybe I'll just do that here. Why are you asking me this? Okay, so for example, I could ask you, do you eat meat? One, yes. Two, no. And then you could tell me. Why don't we just see how many people eat meat? I'm curious now. We have the technology to answer these problems. I'm going to, of course, this is a joke, so I'm going to close the poll rather than wasting everyone's time on it. Well, we can do the percentages later. More than I would have thought, more than 10%. Okay. So why clickers? Well, I think you sort of saw already the uses and the advantages of using the clicker technology. Surprisingly, the least important one is that it lets me understand where you're at. The most important examples, it allows quieter students to participate. It allows unconfident students to participate. When I said I was going to ask you a math question, did you feel a chill of fear? If you did, you have just empathized with most of the students in my class. And then I noticed that I actually got quite a lot of responses. I would not have heard from those people if I hadn't been using clickers. If you ask a question verbally, you'll get maybe the same five people responding to each time. Let's see, is there anything? I see I'm running out of time. It also lets you vary the pace of the lecture. That's quite important. Here's another very similar. Well, that was the same question. And another example that I actually took from class. In mathematics, these numerical answers... Oh, is that my one-minute warning?
Yes, your one-minute warning.
Okay. Classes that, or questions that worked well. So for there's much discussion amongst clicker users about what to ask. For me, questions that worked well were numerical answers, such as the one I asked. Simple multiple choice and true-false questions, those are fine. Usually for testing understanding of a basic concept, there were a few sort of novelty-type questions. You can use it to do probability experiments. That's kind of fun. Bad questions in mathematics turned out to be the big picture questions. You need to get at big picture questions by asking something simple and concrete. If you just ask people for strategy or something, they won't know what you want. All right, that's all I had to say. Thanks.
You can ask a comment. Sure.
No, I can't. Okay. Maybe the computer should be reset to PowerPoint.
Thank you very much. And we still see that it's well over 80% who are dealing with the animals in one way or another. So that was pretty good. And that's an on-the-fly kind of question to ask, which is not so easy in a larger class, but I'm glad that it was shown that it could be done for sure. And as just to emphasize from my own experience with clickers, if you ask a group like this to raise their hand on almost any question, particularly if they're a meat eater, I think you won't get many hands being raised because there are social implications of what you are trying to say, and no student wishes to look dumb, as they often say. So clickers really are marvelous in that regard. So are there questions on this topic for Benjamin? How many of you use clickers just in your classrooms as an example? Don't be embarrassed. There's no social implications. There's half a dozen or so, seven maybe.
The software is still on. You could just... No. Okay.
Other queries? Now, clickers, has been promoted very strongly by Teaching and Learning Services all through, particularly the science faculty, but I know there are many individuals in arts. What I found really interesting about clickers, as an example, is you can do chemistry questions, math questions, and the like, and that's really very good. But you can also do, particularly, I would have thought, in the social science area, opinion questions, or even people have opinions in science, too, about one thing and another, and you can gain access to what you would never be able to ask sometimes. I've thought of some very interesting questions that I haven't quite dared to ask yet, but you could find out an awful lot about what students are doing that they would never reveal in any other way.
I found that if I were asking for people's opinions, I usually simply revoked math fear. It's truly formidable, and it's instilled in us at a very young age. So you really have to ask questions that involve things people can do successfully.
Very good. Thank you very much. That was a good example, particularly the very first one. And one of the other features of clickers is just exactly what Benjamin showed, which is that you can have people, you can maybe not necessarily show the first answer, which can be revealed with the second answer, and you sometimes see the data goes up for one of the answers. Adam, do you want to comment?
I just want to add a bit We were just looking at the numbers, and we now have over around 10,000 students with clickers on campus.
Multiply by 50, and we can relieve our debt very easily. $500,000.